Hello, everybody. Welcome to Channels, the Nextflow podcast. You're joining us for the second News and Views episode, which is the new format of Channels. Thank you very much for coming and hanging out with us today. My name is Phil. I'm talking to you from Sweden.
I am Chris, and I'm talking to you today from New Zealand.
Hello, guys. I'm Marcel. I'm talking from Brazil.
The idea behind this podcast is that the Nextflow community is always sort of humming with activity. So today we're going to be chatting to you about a few of the latest things that have come across our Slack notifications and try and keep you up to date, sort of like a Nextflow news in your headphones. So I'm going to kick us off today. We've got a few things lined up to discuss. We're going to try and keep it nice and snappy today. And I'm going to start off by talking a little bit about a project which is come up on quite a lot of people's radars within the Nextflow community recently, called NF Test. Not to be confused with NF Core or NF Cast or any of the other projects. This is a really cool project. People have been talking about testing code, testing pipelines for ever since people started writing Nextflow pipelines, to be honest. And traditionally, it's always been pretty difficult to do kind of detailed, granular tests for Nextflow pipelines. All of us are quite heavily involved in the NF Core project. We have lots of pipelines there. We have a lot of contributors. We have about 4,500 people part of the Slack, and then we've got about 400 or 500 people actively contributing code. So it's a massive number of people, and we really rely on this kind of automated testing setup. But for most of the history of NF Core, we've pretty much our continuous integration testing, so our kind of automated tests that we run whenever you run pipelines, has just been like, run the pipeline, see if it exits with an error or not. And that's pretty good. I mean, it catches quite a lot of stuff. If you have like a syntax error or something like that, then it will fall over and you'll notice that. But of course, it doesn't catch a more kind of subtle errors. For example, if you mess up the way that the channels are connected between different processes, you might skip a process and the pipeline will still successfully complete and you won't be any the wiser. Unless you notice manually. So having kind of better testing has always been something that we've wanted. The last time we were chatting in the last episode, we were talking about DSL2 modules a little bit with the new release of NF Core Tools, and which has both modules and sub-workflows. And I said that one of the ambitions at the time was to have kind of unit testing for individual processes. But we're not alone in kind of wanting this more granular testing and better testing. And recently this new project has come up called NF Test, which has tried to sort of address this and build a testing framework for Nextflow pipelines. So you can find it on GitHub. If you just, Google NF Test each time, it's over here. It's a really nicely written project. It's written by Lukas Furr and Sebastian Schoenherr. And if you click the documentation over on the side, you've got a nice doc site built with Make Docs. I'm such a strong believer in good documentation, and NF Test wins this. It's really nice docs. It's really clear and easy to follow. And so I've actually, I should say as well, the interest in this from NF Core side, we started off using PyTest workflow also the last kind of year or so, and then we've been exploring NF Test mostly since the hackathon in October, spearheaded by Niklas and Edmund. And I've only got into it the last kind of few weeks with the MethRC pipeline, where we started doing a sort of proof of concept. So I'm still a bit of a newbie with this, really. But I've been really impressed. And jump in, guys, by the way, if you had any questions or anything. Sorry. But
do you think this is something that will incorporate into all NF Core pipelines in the future, or do you think it's something that will be isolated to certain pipelines and certain developers?
I think we're going to use this on all the pipelines, to be honest. So with NF Test, you can use it to do like whole pipelines. You see down here, there's different types of tests. You've got pipeline testing for an entire pipeline. You've got workflow testing for workflows within, which could be sub-workflows. And then you've got process testing and function testing. The pipeline testing is very similar to what we're already doing, basically, where you just run the pipeline from end to end and see what happens. But because it's written in Groovy and it has actual insight into what's going in and the Nextflow kind of working memory, you can actually be much more clever about the kind of stuff you're looking at. So you can check here, like you've got this workflow object, so you can check the assert that the workflow was successful, which is the same as what we're doing. We're just checking if it worked. But you can also check things in the trace, like how many tasks there were, assert the workflow trace task size. And so that's a really easy one for us to do, because you just say, okay, like, I know the pipeline's working well at the moment, and that had 26 tasks in it. So just check it always has 26 tasks in it. And then the CI test will fail immediately if you drop any. Mm-hmm. And you can go past that as well. You can check like the outputs, whether files exist. You can check MD5s or file sizes, things like that. But I think on a simple scale, just checking the number of tasks is like dead easy. It's like we can put that in a template and we can have it in a couple of lines of code. And what I came across, what I finally understood the other day, actually, it's really cool, is you have these snap files. And I'd seen them there, but I hadn't really kind of got around to reading what they were. And it's these snapshots. And basically, you wrap something in a snapshot call here. You say, assert a snapshot of this matches. And what happens is, basically, it just saves the result of that thing into a file, and it checks that whatever it gets matches the file, instead of hard coding it within the test file. And that's pretty much the same so far. But what's really cool is you can run the tests then with a dash dash update snapshot, and then that just tells you, like, look, I'm sure everything's fine. Update the source of truth, and that's really good, because until then, every time I added a process, I'd have to go through every single test file, changing every single test with the number of expected tests because I added one. It was really annoying. But now you can just rerun the tests and update snapshots, and all the files are automatically updated. And in the pull request, you can also see that those tests are changing.
Yeah, look, I think it's really exciting, and anything that can make the code and pipelines better is going to be an asset for the community. So I think this is, it's a really great initiative, and I'm really excited to start seeing it incorporated in my own pipelines as well as the pipelines out there in the community.
I think mostly like even for enterprise level pipelines, people who are running like pipelines with very complex situations, to be able to have unit tests, it's a whole different level. Even to convince your company or your boss that you should use this pipeline or another one, it brings a lot of joy for the daily work of pipeline developers. And I mean, I think one thing that we are seeing more and more are Nextflow plugins, right? And I can't see why we wouldn't have a enough test plugin in the near term. It would be much easier to deal with that.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's pretty easy to install already. It's basic. If you've installed Nextflow, you can install NFTest. It's exactly the same. It's just like when you have a binary that's downloaded. So that bit's
But instead of typing the commands, for example, you could just have inside your Nextflow pipeline some instructions or a different file, but still, you just write it once and would run the test. I think it could be very nice, different approach to writing it and doing these tests.
I'm mostly excited about looking into whether we can test more stuff like the configuration resolution. So like, you've got all this massive like configs with parameters and all this kind of stuff. Like, okay, once that's all been resolved with these flags, does this like, script block end up looking in the way I expect it to? Is my command running with the flags I want it to? Stuff like that. I think that'd be really good. I'm pretty sure that should be possible.
Yeah. And it's already a lot of progress.
Yeah. And because you can test processes on an individual level and stuff, I think we'll be able to use this for the shared modules and stuff. It'll be pretty cool. Yeah, anyway, if this sounds interesting, and apologies to the authors, developers, and anyone else who I haven't done justice to this package, because like I say, I'm still fairly new to it. But Edmund gave a really nice talk about it on the NF Core Bite Size just the other day, which is up on YouTube. So if you check out the NF Core website, and then you should be able to see his talk there. If you go up to events, you'll see it there, and it's quite a good introduction. And of course, just go and check out the website. It's code.askimed.com/nftest, or just Google nftest. Cool, right. Who's up next?
Yeah, Chris. I think I might jump in. So what I wanted to talk about today was an initiative I think we are all especially proud of, which is the Nextflow and NF Core Mentorship Program. So this is supported by the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative. I'm really fortunate to have support from them for this. And round one of the program finished a few months ago now. And if you are interested in what was achieved in this, you can go back and look at our blog post, which is up on the Nextflow website. But the program as a whole is designed to pair mentors and mentees from across the world. And together they come up with a Nextflow or NF Core related project, and they work on it together over 3 or 4 months. In October this year, we released the call for applications for round 2 of the program, which After the success of round one, we saw a really nice sort of response to this again. So what we do is as we look at those applications and review them, and we try and match mentors and mentees with the same interests, and help them set up a collaboration in a way to work on a project together over the next 4 months. What I've got here up on the slide, if you're watching this on YouTube, it's just the number of mentors and mentees that actually applied. So we had about maybe 120, 130 applications from across the world, which was really exciting. And we also sort of took in what people were interested in to help us match these pairs to make sure that it had similar interests. And one of the interesting things here is that we did see a real sort of common themes of things like metagenomics and epigenetics, obviously genomic analysis, of the common interests of people who are interested in this program. And what we've done this round, so round two, which has just started now in December and will run until late March, is we've paired 13 mentors and mentees from all across the world. So we've got mentees here in New Zealand, Australia, all over the world, of course, right around to the Americas, Europe, down in Latin America as well, Africa. We've got a really, really global group of people, which is really, really exciting to have. And
this is quite a few more than last time round, right?
It is, absolutely. So in the first round, we have 5 mentor and mentee pairs. This round, we have increased it to 10, from 10 to 13, because we're very lucky, because we're really lucky to have some volunteers from Sakira who are giving up their time just because they really believe in this program as well, which I think is really, really fantastic. So I guess what I want to say is hold this space, because I think we'll probably report back on this in maybe 6 weeks towards the end of the season of episodes, but also in the future again there'll be blog posts, and we'll probably even talk to some of the mentor and mentee pairs just to get their take on the program.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. We had the kickoff a few days ago, and it was great actually seeing everyone's faces like pop up on Zoom and like seeing everyone come together and seeing how excited everyone is about getting their teeth kind of stuck into this.
Absolutely. And I think it was really hard as well to look at the applications and actually, find a way to select who can be our mentors and mentees, because we want to accept everyone. And there are, so many great bioinformaticians out there that are trying to learn NextFlow, and we'd love to help everyone. But for those that did miss out and are watching this, I think keep an eye out for the next round, which will be happening again maybe in the middle of next year. I can't remember the dates when we'll start advertising that again, but please watch the space as well.
The dates are up on the NFCore website, I think, under the mentorships.
So I think this mentorship program is really, really amazing. It's like a huge opportunity. And just like Chris said, I mean, if it was up to us, we would accept everyone. There were so many nice curriculums. It was so, so hard. We had like so many people involved in doing the selection, looking at all the CVs. It was really, really hard. There were like amazing people with amazing ideas, amazing backgrounds. It would be great to work with. Some people, we're still going to try to reach and do something together. But for the mentorship, we had a limited number, even of money, because the CCI grant we got to sponsor some of the mentees, and the mentors, they get some money. So in the end, it was very, very hard to get to the number we needed to get. But, I mean, pay attention, watch for the next round. I talked to a lot of people in Latin America and the Caribbean, and many of them was like, oh my God, I want to apply for that. I was like, yeah, but now it's over. The call's already over. People were like in many different countries. And in the end, I was really happy because, like NextFlow itself and NF4 started in Europe, in academia. You have a lot of biotech companies in the US. So it's just natural that a lot of people are going to be in North America and Europe. So it's just like what we would expect. And if you look at the number of the mentors, they're mostly from North America and Europe. It's just like you would expect it to be. When you look at the first round, you didn't have like anyone from Latin America and the Caribbean, for example. But it's not that they were not selected. They didn't apply. There was not a single person that applied. So it's not like we didn't select it. There was nobody to select. Nobody applied. And this round, I think we had 17% from all the applicants around the world. They were from Latin America and the Caribbean. So just by that, I was already very, very happy, because we showed that we were able to reach these people, to reach these institutions, both companies, like industry and also academia. So I was really happy. And by the end, we got a reasonable number of people, as you saw in the map, like in North America, South America, Oceania, so many different places like Africa, Middle East. It was very, very nice. I was really happy with the result of the mentorship, of the selection process.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out as well. We're always a bit tight on mentors, but it's obviously mostly a labour of love to be a mentor. But the Chan Zuckerberg grant does mean that we offer a stipend to the mentors because for the time commitment. So yeah, do bear that in mind. If it sounds at all interesting to you, please do apply as a mentor next round. You don't have to be some crazy Nextflow wizard, but as long as you're a bit experienced enough to sort of help someone along to build configs, get started, when that's enough. Yeah. And I was also going to mention that if you missed out on the mentorships and you're wanting to learn Nextflow, then there's, aside from more mentorship programs coming up in 2023, we also got some free training coming up in March, which will be online. And we do something a bit different every time. The thing we're going to do with the training this time around is we're going to try and do it in multiple languages. Thankfully, we have some talented people who speak more than one language. So, anyway, do you want to take us on to the next section, Marcel?
Sure. So there's this feature, let's say, that we all love until it doesn't work and we hate it, which is caching, right? So We, in the past, we had this blog post on the Nextflow blog called the Mystifying Nextflow Resume, which was explaining how this caching works. So basically, it means that when you run a pipeline, at some point of your pipeline, it fails, you can fix what was broken, you can resume the run of your pipeline, and it will start from where it stopped. Maybe it doesn't look like a great thing for you, but remember that sometimes we have pipelines we're going to run for weeks, for months, and have to start everything from scratch just because the last stage something was wrong. I mean, it's very not nice. So this caching feature is amazing because it allows you to keep running your pipeline from it stopped last. And this first blog post was very nice for introducing the feature. How does Nextflow know that where from start again? So it has a hash for every task based on a lot of information about the task. And this blog post is mostly explaining what it is and some basic usage. But of course, at some point, people identify that sometimes there are some issues that you run and you don't know what to do. And the second blog post was mostly like how to troubleshoot Nextflow resume. But actually, it was more like pointing to common mistakes people do. It's like, oh, sometimes you do like this. You have like race condition and global variable. Oh, you have non-deterministic input channels. So common situations that would make resume fail and how you could prevent this failure by not doing that or paying attention for these details. But still, there was something that was missing, which was really trying to investigate an issue when you run into one. So this is the latest blog post on the topic written by Abhinav Sharma in November, so it's very recent. And here he creates some examples and creates some issues, like artificially, and see what happens. And then step by step, it helps you using Nextflow, investigating the log files, how to understand what went wrong so that you can really go back and fix what's wrong and understand what's going on. So it's a very hands-on blog post with a lot of examples, really hands-on. I really liked it. So cheers for Abhinav. It was a very nice blog post. And I think you guys should check out. If you have some issues with cache and usually you don't know what to do, this blog post is going to tell you what you should do, how you should do, how you could investigate the situation to find out what's wrong.
Yeah, I've got to say, I learned a lot reading this blog post. Yeah. I mean, I've been using Nextflow for I don't know how many years, and if you use Nextflow long enough, you always come up against pipelines not quite resuming as you expect them to, and it can be really frustrating. Like you say, if these processes are running for days, and if it keeps happening the same way and you can't figure out why, it just sometimes feels like you're hitting your head against a brick wall. So this is the first time I think I've ever actually sat down and seen someone go through step by step, like actually getting Nextflow to tell you why it broke that cache.
Yeah. And I think I like the flow of the post because I think that's how you learn Nextflow. Like the first blog post is like you read about Nextflow, you start doing things. Then the second step is you run into common issues. So there are answers all over the place because there are issues that people keep hitting, right? And the third step is like, okay, this is something new. You're going to have to you have to get your hands dirty. You have to investigate, open the log files, play with the Nextflow CLI. So I think it's just the cache feature in these three blog posts, they kind of show how you should handle Nextflow. Like at the beginning, learning it, running into common issues, and then really having to gets your hand dirty to understand what's going on under the hood.
Yeah.
Cool. No, it's, yeah.
It's cool.
I absolutely agree as well. It's a really fantastic behavior, and I think the blog post does real justice to it as well, because if you can understand this, it saves you so much time trying to troubleshoot. So I hope that anyone that is having difficulty can find it and actually implement it, or you know, understand these things to you know, benefit their own pipelines.
So it's one of these things, every now and then when I see an article come out like this, I'm like, this is going to be an article I link to a lot. I think it's a sign of something useful. Anyway, great. That was on the Nextflow website. If you didn't catch that, just click on blog at the top and you'll find it in the list in November 2022. Okay, guys, we've hit 20 minutes. I don't know quite where the time goes on these podcasts. I feel like we've only just started.
Yeah, you're right.
But I think we should probably wrap up. So just a reminder to everyone listening that if wherever you're listening to, YouTube or Spotify or wherever, that we're trying to put this out onto kind of all the standard podcast channels. So if we're missing any, let us know. But hopefully, you know, this is available wherever you're usually hang out for your podcasts. There's the Nextflow website has a page called Podcasts, which lists all of them. So you can find some links, all the things we've talked about here. We give a quick summary and a bullet point list there. So if there's anything that sounded interesting, go and dig that out there. And you can also see all the past podcasts and watch those videos. And hopefully, I haven't written it yet, but hopefully soon it will show you the upcoming episodes too. of course, check out the Nextflow Twitter account if you're not already following that, because that talks about it. And then finally, thank you, the channel's podcast Slack channel on the main Nextflow Slack is where to go if you want to come and talk to us and talk about ideas and tell us how we're doing. At this point, it's very quiet in there, so please come and tell us that you think this was nice, because if we don't hear anything, and we might stop. So it'd be cool to get some feedback. Right, with that, unless you guys have anything to follow up with, I think we'll say a very, very happy Christmas to everyone who's celebrating Christmas in the next couple of days. Hope you have a really wonderful holiday, and we'll be back in January with a few more episodes of News and Views on Podcast.
Yep.
Cool, yeah. Right, Merry Christmas, everyone, and we'll see you in the new year.
Yeah, see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.